He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday afternoon, November 7th for anyone who is counting out there. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you folks here for this 1 hour of show. Yeah, that's right. Only 1 hour today. We got to get down to Dinuba for our football broadcast tonight, the Friday Night Lights playoff edition between Kingsburg and Dinuba, starting tonight at 6:30 pregame with a 7 p.m. Kickoff. Myself, Paul Metters, on the call for this one as the playoffs are underway in the Central Valley. We'll bring that broadcast to you, plus, of course, coverage of all the high school playoffs all the way through Central Section Championships till at least the 21st. Probably, maybe we'll see. The 28th, I think, we'll have maybe a couple games to choose from as well for you there. So that's what we're planning on. Four more broadcasts potentially for the rest of the year. We're here live, like I said. We're on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. If you want to watch us, watch our show, be sure to check us out live. Hello to the YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch audience who is out there watching right now, or just getting into watching right now. Also, you can listen to us on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website, and the ESPN Fresno app is where you can listen to us as well. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays. So you can listen to him. You can listen to my show, Behind the Bench, from 3 to 5, 6 each weekday. And then also Paul Metters' show, which is happening tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First String Sports, the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters. You can listen to then. Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. You can call us at the Lee's Air Hotline. Get in on the conversation, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. Taking a look at the Lee's Air weather check. And in this beautiful Friday afternoon and into the evening, 71 degrees is your high for this afternoon, evening. Looking at game time temps, most of them are at 7 p.m. tonight in the Fresno area. 63 degrees will be the temperature by the time we get to kickoff. So maybe a little bit of bundling for some people out there in terms of it. We'll be relatively nice over the weekend, 80 degrees topping out by Sunday. Then we'll be in the high to mid 70s Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then hello, Cliff, here it comes. The rain and the cool temperatures starting Thursday all the way through Sunday. We're looking at mid-60s all the way down to high 50s. Potential precip Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, including, yes, high school football next week and the Fresno State home game against Wyoming potentially. Although I saw mostly in the morning on that Saturday, maybe the precip will be come. It'll be like back end of the storm, so maybe not rain during the actual Fresno State game next Saturday. So maybe a little reprieve from that. We are always joined by great producers who come in and help us out for the show today. And, of course, over in the glass, in the peanut gallery, we've called it, we got Sergio and Chloe in today for the 1 hour. Guys, how are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to be back. I was not here for the last show, I don't think. So it's good to be back in
good
this
to have
chair.
You back, Sergio. It's been too long. And Chloe, how about you?
You know, it's been a day. I told you it's been a day. But it's great to be back. You know, you have the best producing team out there.
Of course.
Right now, of course.
Facts.
Of course, yeah. You guys holding it down on Fridays in terms of that. You can almost make it a competition between the other producing teams if you want to.
I think we're totally winning.
Yeah, we clear. Yeah,
you guys could, try. We'll maybe we'll make it a competition between you two and Tanvir and Daniel on Tuesdays. And
I'm down.
Let's ask the Instagram.
I want to see what that.
I don't know
like.
If anybody can top Jorge though. So
no, probably not.
Jorge is king.
Yeah, yes. He is God here.
Anyways, it's good to be here, Chloe. I'm glad you're going. The day is going higher for you. I think it's going to get better for you.
Yes, it's getting there. I'm actually so excited for the football game tonight. I feel like it's going to be so fun.
Kingsburg Dinuba, we're kind of in your area, not really, a little bit north of it.
We're halfway there.
Yeah, halfway there. I think this is our, and I'll check with Paul Metters on this. This is our first broadcast in Dinuba. I got to check on it. Actually, Paul Metters is from Dinuba, so this is a nice little homecoming. Fun facts everywhere. We'll verify that. Paul's going to come in about 10 minutes or so. We'll see him in here, and we'll go over all the playoff stuff. But I wanted to talk some of the other conversation around sports right now, because we only got the hour, so we got to really set up the weekend for a lot of people here. And we just had some news come across, at least from what I was seeing over the last hour or so, Adam Schefter tweeting that it is Mac Jones again at the quarterback position for the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. And I continue to run into these conspiracy theories with the 49ers in terms of how tough this injury is for Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy ever going to be right this season, or should he just get the surgery that I think they are so loosely trying to avoid? But the more we continue to just go down this road of kicking the can, and making Mac the starter every week continues to, fuel the theory that we have in terms of, at least for me, that Brock Purdy is just never going to be healthy this season. As they announce again, Mac Jones is going to play, especially in this highly, highly important game against the Rams. Do you get concerned about if we're going to see Brock Purdy the rest of this year, if we're going to get the good Brock Purdy the rest of this year, even if he is going to play? I got to imagine a lot of Niner fans are sitting here waking up this morning or hearing the news today. Like, I don't know if we see number 13 out on the football field this year. That's where I would sit in question. You guys are Niner fans. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned. I'm more concerned than I was when he initially got the injury and when he initially re-injured it that week that he played, that he should not have played.
Yeah.
And I think that since Shanahan is being so vague and keeps, dancing around the issue, like, it's not making me any more, doesn't make me feel any better about the situation. It kind of reminds me of the McCaffrey situation last year. Like, we didn't know if he was going to play the whole year, right, and then he didn't. So this very well could be the same case this year, too.
What do you think, Chloe? Are we getting deja vu with McCaffrey from last year?
I was about to say, yeah, like, it's reminding me of that. The whole season we were like, oh, like, are we going to get him? Are we going to get him? And then every weekend it was a no. And it was always, like, last-minute no's. So I'm a little concerned, especially because he's such a key component, which Mac Jones has been playing phenomenal for our team. But we just signed this huge contract with him, and everyone knows number 13, and we're not getting any of that action. So I'm glad that they're giving him enough time to recover, but like, have we reached past that point now?
Well, it seems to tell me that, like, this is an injury, right? This turf toe thing, which is, we're only projecting what it could be. Some reports have come out and said it's as bad as Burrow's, and Burrow got the treatment and then the surgery right away, and there's a hope that Joe Burrow can somehow come back and save this Bengals season by mid-December, and maybe he wins three games out, and maybe you have a certain conversation where the Bengals could be. I don't see that getting that way with the way they're playing, but in the sense of the Niners right now, I think they knew they had decent talent with this team, and I don't know if the medical staff just didn't diagnose it right away, didn't think it was that serious. We've heard stories about this staff, especially with the Bosa situation, where Nick knew it was completely torn. But there was an idea that a story that came out on the sideline that the medical staff felt like he could have went out and played more when Nick Bosa tore his ACL. But clearly, I think it's a different story with this Niners staff of think they're playing around in the dark just a little bit with the injury situations. Ricky Pearsall continues to be an ambiguous knee injury that continues to just mysteriously linger with this medical staff? Was it as serious as it can be in terms of that? I continue to question where the practices are with this Niners team as we continue to move forward with this season, where, let's be frank, 6-3 feels like as good as it can be with how this thing has gone with this Niners squad. And now you have basically, I would say, and I'm not trying to make the whole season out of this game, but you win this, and I think you feel very confident you can find 3 more wins and make the playoffs here moving forward, you know, with teams like Cleveland and with teams like Tennessee on the cusp. And, you know, Arizona's, I wouldn't say they're a pushover, but you feel like you can beat them. You already did beat them this year. So I just wonder where the practices are with this Niners team, and conversely to, you know, when you think of other teams and the way they go. When you look at this game, though, with the Los Angeles Rams coming in, you could say it's the same cast of characters coming into this game like they did on Thursday, where they beat them. One huge difference in this game: Fred Warner is no longer playing for the 49ers this season. And I think that's going to be a glaring, glaring issue for the 49ers coming into this week, and going to be a massive hole to make up in terms of where the middle of the field protection can be, where the Niners are going to have to deal with Puka Nacua and Davante Adams inside, where the Rams have found success with Higbee back in terms of a tight end position, Kyren Williams, maybe where that run defense is going to be lacking because the Rams have a better, more capable way of attacking the middle of the field, where, you know, and the Niners defensive guys, the rookie guys, have stepped up considerably, I would say, over the last few weeks. But the Rams are a different animal. I mean, look at who they have played this season offensively, and I don't think there's a single team that's better offensively than the Rams have been this season. And I you know, with Houston and Atlanta and New York, I don't know if that's like the caliber of teams that the Niners can measure against, where then suddenly you're facing an elite, elite team where you have a quarterback who is the front runner, I would believe, for the MVP. This is as tall of a task for the 49ers moving forward. That's my wide angle look at the game in terms of it. I wonder what your thoughts are. I'll start with Sergio in terms of, you know, the lack of Fred Warner is my biggest thing thinking about this game. And I think the Niners are in a truly tough spot here where they could be losing another one to this Rams team. First loss of the year to the Rams and two of the NFC West. Is it a game that the Niners can afford to lose? I think maybe they can, but I wonder where your thoughts are in terms of your feel of the game coming in.
Yeah, I think it's a game that they can afford to lose, especially with how easy their schedule is for the rest of the season.
Easy-ish. It got tougher. Yeah. I mean, the Panthers are not pushover anymore in a couple weeks. I'm not giving that. The Colts are no longer a pushover like we thought.
Yeah.
The Bears are getting frisky.
Yeah, so.
So.
They can lose this game, but at the same time, if they do lose this game, then the season, you could see it as quote-unquote over, because they weren't expected to beat the Rams when they did in L.A. all those weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they've significantly outperformed all expectations, so I personally see this as a win. I thought we were going to go like close to 500 maybe, and that's kind of just a testament to the coaching.
Yeah.
It has been all coaching this season, but Fred Warner always eats against the Rams. I always think of that pick six he had when Goff was their quarterback to start the game, and then that kind of drove the momentum. That was like,
it's gotta be the first game Fred is not playing for the Niners facing the Rams.
Yeah. So he's obviously a huge difference maker, but especially against the Rams, he dictates the defense in that regard.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they definitely can win this game. They're home. Mac Jones has been on a roll. He's looked good. But it might be too much, especially with Stafford, because Stafford has been so good. He is my MVP right now. He only has 2 interceptions the whole year. So
I guess who doesn't force interceptions? The Niners are last, I would want to believe, in interceptions forced this season. So
I think there's too many factors, especially for the rest of the season. There's too many factors of why this team can't make a deep run in the playoffs or even get there. So,
Chloe. Nervous, I'm sure, about this game. It's a big game for you guys, the Niners. You're a fan of them. But even your optimism has to be shaking just a little bit about this team based off the injuries and how big this game can be. You can have the belief in the world, and I'll trust you to have the belief in it. But I got to say, logic tells you that the Niners are going to have a tough time on Sunday.
I will say that it is going to be a tough game for sure. It's going to be a fight. I want to say a fight the whole way through, but we have seen this team before where, you know, you reach that the second half, the fourth quarter, and if you're still, like, if you're still down, you start seeing that momentum just to keep declining, especially when you are missing Warner. I feel like was just such a key component to, like, at least trying to help.
He was incredibly memorable in that Thursday game for me, especially on the fourth down stops they got in overtime. Yeah. You know, being big in the middle of the field and obviously causing some loss of yard situations for the Rams, especially on the run game as well. It's a different story when he's not on the field at all.
Exactly. So. And I mean, going based off of, like, if we can afford to lose this, I think we can, but I don't think the season's going to be very pretty after. Like, I think we still could have a fighting chance, but, you know, winning this would easily set us up, you know, to have a much stronger season, have a better chance at playoffs.
Well, I gave this layout to Jorge and he kind of pushed back on a little bit, but I'm going to be frank with you. Basically, since week three, the Niners have not had a winning streak or a losing streak this entire season. Since week three, it's been win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. Follow the pattern. It's a loss on Sunday, right? And then it's a win in Arizona, and then it's a loss against Carolina. It's a win against Cleveland. You don't want to lose to the Titans. Maybe finally get a win streak here, but I think the Niners need to find a win streak here to, I think, afford themselves the opportunity to get into a position where, I mean, what is going for them is the 3-0 in division. I mean, they are 3-0 in division. And you do that, and you win a couple more, and I would say safely you are the best division team if everything is tied by the end of the season. The Seahawks are playing out of their mind. I think they're the most big threat for the NFC West in terms of it. Niners have to close with them at the end of the year. Who knows what that looks like in terms of it. But if you want to bury the Rams, this is where it is in terms of this game as well. The incentive for the Niners is not only do you want to have the Rams lose here, here are the Rams' couple next opponents if you want to look at it as well. And the Rams have not have a cakewalk after this next game. They have to go play Seattle in SoFi. They have the Tampa Bay Bucks in SoFi. Carolina's not an easy win in Carolina anymore. You're at the Cardinals. It's a division game. You're home against the Lions. That's not easy. You're at Seattle on a short week on Thursday. And I'm telling you, it's a gauntlet for the Rams moving forward. So as much as we talk from the Niner perspective of how much important this game is, from the Ram perspective, if I want to give it to the Ram fans who are listening as well, man, you got to get this one because this gets tough down the stretch, especially if you want to win a division. I think the Rams have a real, real test on their hands in terms of how that's going to go. So the Rams should win this game. We said that last time, though. Didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did.
Didn't we? Yeah. And we saw how it all turned out. It's going to be a good one on Sunday no matter what. And you can listen to it on 1430 and 790. 1430, you can listen to it on the Niner side. And on 790, we'll have the Rams side of the broadcast kickoff at 125. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Paul Metters should be in here talking high school football. We're going to chop it up about the playoffs next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. This is too early for this. We are too early for this kind of music. Who suggested this in the peanut gallery?
Who do you think?
I wonder who.
Oh, you give Thanksgiving a little bit of a breath.
Okay, I don't celebrate Christmas before Thanksgiving, but I really just knew that it would ruffle your feathers.
You just knew it set me a little bit. All right. Paul, where are you on? Paul Metters here in studio with me. Are you on my side or are you on Chloe's side? Where are we doing here?
Oh, your side. So today I stopped
off November 7th.
At Target, and they had Christmas music. Upper management at Target decided Christmas music now. I was not digging it. And then, you know, I looked at my phone. I'm like, yeah, it's November 7th.
Yeah.
right? It way too early, and it's going to be pushed what till Halloween.
What do they say? What do they say? They're thawing up Mariah Carey as we speak, right? Is that what they say, Sergio?
Yeah. She's always ready and waiting.
She's always ready and waiting. I don't know.
You guys can really hit Phil hard if you just one episode, one of his shows, just play the Mariah Carey song for every intro.
Oh my God, I'd lose it.
That's a great idea.
I'd walk out. I'd be like Asa on those Tuesdays when they play music.
Oh no, I'm keeping this information in mind the rest of the month.
All right, well, Chloe, it's been great working with you, and good luck on the rest of your adventure.
It's been nice.
It's been great. All right, let's talk some football, Paul. Hey, playoffs, they're here. And I don't know if we've really gotten a chance. You had your chance on your show to really kind of project where things were going in terms of the brackets. I'll start with this before we go into some results last night and some games tonight. Anything surprise you from the bracket release?
As far as the brackets go, I first of all, I just want to say this. I thought that the CIF and the tweaking of the rules, I think it was a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the brackets and you really break it down and study, I think the schools are in the right division that they should be in. There's no school that I think got, you know, hosed that's been in the past. I think the divisions look really, really strong. Only a few teams got to move up. Only a few teams got to move down. I think my only thing that I really don't like, it just looks weird to me, is six teams in Division I, Single A.
Yeah.
They split it up last year to give some of those teams like Hanford a better chance to win Division I, mm-hmm. so they split it up. It just doesn't look right. I don't like the two byes.
Do you think it was kind of like they didn't want to track team down there in that bracket, and they want to keep track all together? And
yeah, maybe, right? We thought that Clovis East, because they went 0-5 in the track, might get bumped down to Division I Single A, but it didn't happen. I mean, we've been talking about my show. Like, it looks like it's going to happen, and it didn't, so hence the six teams.
Well, I think maybe I don't know if they factor it in. Maybe they saw the Grant result, and they thought, okay, Clovis East played them tight. Central East lost to them. You know, maybe we'll see what they do against each other. Even though we know what the Clovis East Central East matchup yielded, which is 50 points in the first half
right?
for Central East, but maybe that game carried a little. I don't know. That's kind of where I think about it.
Do you quote unquote reward Clovis East for going 0-5 to putting them as like a 3 seed in the other bracket?
Yeah,
but that would have given Central East a bye, which mm-hmm. I think they would have deserved.
Certainly. It's a gauntlet through the track.
Yeah, absolutely. So Central East has to play Clovis East tonight. It's a little bit of a trickle-down effect, but that's my only, negative about it. But overall, I really like it.
Well, let's talk about – we had a couple games last night in terms of it. I don't know if you were out and about checking them out. Buchanan and Clovis North rematch in there. Buchanan, really sound performance last night to advance, and they'll be – where they're going to be taking on the winner of Central East versus Clovis East, right?
They're the 4 seed.
So we'll see where that all takes out. But what impressed you? The Bears once again just kind of plodding along, being the Final Four team in this 1AA bracket.
Yeah, absolutely. Their defense is their strength. And go back to when they played Central East. Remember, they were beating them 28-20 at halftime.
Right.
And Central East clicked like they normally do.
Seems like they're playing better down the stretch here.
And yeah, they're playing their best football of the season. They got a nice running game. Quarterback is playing really good, the sophomore. But Grant Mosier, I wasn't at the game, mm-hmm. but my intel came through and said Grant Mosier was an absolute dude for Buchanan. From the tight end position, caught 2 touchdowns, played really good defense. So they're playing their best football. So, you know, it will be interesting. Again, that Clovis East or Central East is going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So that would be a factor next week if Central East beats Clovis East tonight, which they should.
I don't know which bracket this is in, but also another result last night. Reedley wins by 3 over Sanger West, and so the Pirates move on.
That game was tight.
It was tight.
Yeah. I think Reedley had to come back to win that one.
I'm looking where that was.
I think D5.
D5?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Okay. And forgive me. God, Max Preps is so.
But there's three games.
I only had two on the Max Pep schedule, unless you got intel on another.
Maybe not.
Reedley moves on, and they could play the winner of Woodlake and Fowler tonight.
Okay, that's, you're right. Only two games last night.
Yeah. So I'm pulling up the brackets now. I probably should have done this before you came on. So let's just go through it. 1AA. How about a 1AA championship rematch in the first round? It's certainly a different feel to it with these two teams, Central East and Clovis East. We don't need to spend too much time on this, but of the three that are playing the rest of the night tonight, I think Clovis West St. Joe's, I'm like, my radar's on it. I'm like, if I'm thinking of an upset potential, even though Clovis lost to Frontier earlier this year, I think Clovis is a much different team than where they were at Frontier. My radar's on St. Joe's defense, maybe taking a trip up here and giving Clovis West a little fits.
I agree. St. Joseph, they have not played a Division I team all season. And, you know, Tulare, they played him really tough in week one. Tulare's number one in D2. They got a really good quarterback to St. Joe's. The defense has been really good for them all season, but they haven't faced, look at it both ways. They haven't faced an offense like Clovis West. They haven't faced a defense like Clovis West.
Tulare Union's offense.
Right? I mean, they only scored 27 points.
It could
points.
Be comparable. If you just went offensive unit to offensive unit, I think, you know, Tulare Union's not too far behind Clovis West.
That was a home game for St. Joe's. They're on the road for tonight's game. Yeah. So, you never know, but I really like Clovis West tonight.
Yeah. Anything to the Frontier win over Clovis, or are we just shaking our head at that result earlier in the year?
Yeah, I'm shaking my head. Lots of different factors in that game.
They do have a D1 quarterback playing at that Frontier team. You know, I would give it a little bit of a shot. If you have a D1 quarterback, voice some D1 quarterback, you could argue maybe this is the best quarterback matchup of the two. Of the
Remember,
three
we were
games.
Impressed by those Frontier wide receivers.
Yeah, that too.
That 6'4 kid that was definitely a weapon. Yeah, I think Clovis is licking at the chops. They're definitely not looking ahead in the playoff ranking or playoff seedings, but yeah, I just think that Clovis is, they're going to try to put the hammer down on Frontier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One single A, two matchups tonight to advance to the two teams that are on bye. How about Sanger Bullard again? Ooh. And this feels like this game will be much different than the first time they played each other.
I think there's going to be more points scored. There's only 20 total points in their last matchup. Both teams were not at full capacity. That game was on our radar. If I could be, at three
it's
different
on our
places
short list.
Tonight, it was on our short list.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a good one tonight. I still see Sanger with the home field advantage with McGrew coming back. But Bullard, they're playing really good football right now. Their only loss in the CMAC was to Sanger.
And then on the other side, Liberty of Bakersfield, a team that was, I would say it's a struggle this year with how Liberty played, but they are a 3-seed taking on San Joaquin Memorial. Memorial's got an interesting season the way they've got about them. They can explode for points here and there. Winner advances to face Hanford. Hanford's an interesting team on this side of the bracket. It feels like they could be ticketed to the championship with the way they kind of drew it out here. I feel like they're above Liberty and Memorial pretty significantly this season.
I would agree. Liberty playing better football. Remember, they start off 0-5, ended up winning four games this year. Yeah, I think Hanford, despite the young team, they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Hanford with the bye, I can see them going to the championship.
Is it
game.
Chalk? Is it going to be Bakersfield Christian?
I think so.
And Hanford?
I think
we feel
so.
Like we're going to be clashed into that.
But I think Bakersfield Christian would compete very well in the higher division.
Yeah. Where do you think they could have been in the 1AA if you really had your druthers about it?
Probably five.
If you didn't have the 25% rule.
Yeah, I think a 4 or 5 seed, I think very comparable to Buchanan.
Yeah, like if Buchanan and Bakersfield Christian played each
other.
That'd
be a great game.
It'd be a fantastic game.
Yeah, spread, pick 'em in that one.
Let's go to a really fun bracket, which we're going to be at one of the matchups tonight. D2 bracket, Dinuba-Kingsburg. Winner takes on Tulare Union next week. Dinuba has the home game because they won the game over Kingsburg. Kingsburg, its resume looks really good.
Yeah.
But the head-to-head, Paul, it matters. And this is where Dinuba gets the advantage of being at home. We'll be on the call. What excites you about this kind of feeling going into a game where Kingsburg's feeling good, but they lost to Dinuba earlier this year?
Well, think of Frontier and Clovis. That's probably on the mind for Kingsburg. Yeah, that game was a huge win for Dinuba, obviously. They get the home field advantage with this matchup tonight. But, hey, Phil, we love our one school towns, right?
Yeah.
Dinuba. You got one Dinuba school. You got one Kingsburg school. There's no plans to build other schools in both those communities. Dinuba actually has a lot of upgrades for their high school this year, spent millions upon millions of dollars. So, you know, on the football side, these teams are very familiar with each other. And I'm not talking just this year, but in years past, they used to be in the same conference. They're fairly close. They're rivals, but not like the main rivals for each school. They both have green. But and yeah, I both teams, in my opinion, are extremely balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll try to establish the running game and then come over the top with the passing game. The defense from Kingsburg is playing really, really solid football right now. You know, Dinuba, they have given up a lot of points. I think they gave up 73 to Hanford, but yeah. Right? That's a high octane offense. So I think I got a little feeling on this game. I think Kingsburg's defense is playing a little bit better than Dinuba's offense.
I mean, they shut down Kerman. That Kerman performance of the defense crazy. Is probably their best performance of the year.
I would agree. So, I would agree.
I think there's a sleeping giant in Arroyo Grande in this bracket. I think they're interesting. They got Sunnyside tonight.
Okay.
Surely believe they can move on. But if you track it out and see them go against Tulare Union down the line in a semifinal, I wouldn't be surprised if Arroyo gives Tulare Union some trouble based off of their resume, them beating St. Joe's as well.
That's it.
I think they're an interesting team. CVC, it's never over until they until they're done in terms of where they at. They're a 7 seed against Lompoc tonight. And they could advance to play Bakersfield, and that would be bruiser.
That'd be a bruiser
in quarterfinals.
Fun fact, really quick about CVC: they have been to 7 straight Central Section Championship games in a row through D4 to D2.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Redwoods in the bracket too. They're a 3 seed. They got to buy. They'll face either Lemoore or Slow as well. Moving to D3 tonight. Full 16-team bracket should be a lot of fun. Shafter, the 1 seed in D3. Mission College Prep, they got them tonight. Union and Garza is on the other side. How about Union and Garza? Well, that was a game we also were shortlisting as well, that one at Washington Union. What do you think of that one?
Hey, Garza, we've seen them on the field. There's a lot of talent out there. Their quarterback is...
He's capable?
He's very capable. Their running back had a huge game last week.
Yeah.
Pretty good wide receivers. The defense looks really solid. But Washington Union, they have a lot of quality wins this season. They have some good athletes as well. That's going to be a really good one. That's an 8-9 game, I believe, right?
8-9 game to advance to play either Shafter or Mission College Prep, assuming Shafter probably handles business.
They should. They might have an injury issue. I don't want to say this on air right now. But, yeah, keep an eye on that one.
I'm keeping an eye on this next part of that bracket. Kennedy has Paso Robles. Golden West has Mission Oak. Assuming those two teams advance, Kennedy and Golden West, my goodness, that could be one of the better quarterfinals next weekend if that happens. But I think that's an interesting setup in the bracket as well. Kennedy capable, I think, of getting to a title game out of this side.
Absolutely. It's a 4-5 game, right, if they match up. So you got the high-octane offense, and with both teams, different styles. Yeah. So we got spread versus wing T-ish, double tight formations. Kennedy's given up a lot of points, though, on the defensive side. But hey, if you told me that matchup would have been for the Central Section Championship game, I said, yeah, I could see that, but that's a 4-5 game. Yeah. That just shows how good that bracket is.
How about Madera's chances down in Bakersfield tonight at Independence? They're an 11 seed. You see some double-digit seeds getting some upsets. Independence, you know, just one of those many, many Bakersfield schools that make the playoffs. What do you make of Madera's chances tonight?
Yeah, Madera, unfortunately, is kind of the flip of some teams we've talked about already as far as playing their best football into the playoffs. They're not playing really good football right now. They've given up a lot of points in the CMAC. Independence is a team on the rise with Coach Gola taking over that program. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a tough game for Madera.
Kerman, we saw their top defensive guy go down this year. I can't remember his name. The name escapes me. But it's a team that's looking to find their way and get back to a Central Section title. They're at Tulare Western tonight. I think they can win a game like this tonight, but Western's, you know, had a decent season so far. What do you make
of that? They got a really good offense. Remember, they're in the same league as Hanford and Dinuba, so there's a lot of comparative scores there. Yeah. But, yeah, I think Western's got a little too much offensive power in that one.
Yeah, and Wasco's on the other side of that bracket. It's the 2 seed. Going to D4, some matchups tonight. We can talk about every 8-9 matchup because we always think it's the coin flip matchup. How about Kalinga and Menachie tonight? Kalinga gets the honor of hosting that one. They would move on to face Templeton if one of those two teams wins. It's an interesting bracket. You got McLean there. How about a potential McLean-Emmanuel matchup in the semifinal in this bracket, Paul? This is a very interesting one if it plays out as chalk.
Yeah, and if that matchup does happen, that would be in Reedley. McLean would not be the home game.
Yeah.
Undefeated. If you look at the point differential, it's crazy. That is a fun bracket. I wish there wasn't bye weeks for those top three teams.
Top four. North's got a bye as well.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that bracket's loaded. Templeton, I don't know much about them. I know they're a running team like Emmanuel is compared to McLean's spread offense. But yeah, that's a fun bracket.
I'm peeping
sure.
Roosevelt at 5 seed.
Yeah, don't sleep on those guys.
Roosevelt is an interesting team. What else we got? D5. I love me some Liberty Madera.
They're playing tonight, right?
They play tonight against Selma. Selma's defending Central Section, but it's a team that's in transition. They lost a lot of guys last year. They're fighting their way through this playoffs. Good for them to get to the playoffs here and take on this Liberty team. But Liberty Madera, they're shaping up to be the favorite in this bracket. There's some teams that could challenge them. 2 seed on the other side, like Woodlake, is going to be a fascinating matchup if we get to that 28th and we see 1 seed versus 2 seed. Potential broadcast game, Paul, if you're in for it. What do you make of some of the teams here, like a Cabrillo taking on a Hoover tonight, or a Bishop Union taking on Golden Valley, West and Taft? And I'm just naming them all.
Well, yeah, I mean, Hoover has been in this bracket for the last few years. I can't remember if they beat Orosi or Woodlake on the road one of the last years. But, you know, Woodlake's got a really good team. They're 9-1 this year.
Talked to their quarterback. He was a student athlete of the week this year.
Yeah. So, you know, Woodlake has a proud tradition as well. Don Robinson, the longtime coach, he's still the active leader in all-time wins in the Central Section. So it's a great tradition, and Liberty Madera is one of those great running teams that they have once every 5 or 6 years.
And then a D6, Minarets, top seed, once again in there. They were on a title run. Orosi, the 2 seed, so you can see those games tonight. A little fireball Yosemite tonight. Josh Allen Field, first playoff runner.
There you
Josh
go.
Allen Field, we like that. Mendota hosts Lindsay tonight. There's all kinds of fun little nugget games tonight in D6 as well. Should be interesting. And then I don't know if you got any notes on D6.
Minarets. Coach Shannon Pulliam was on the show last year. Remember, they lost in the semifinals. They were the 1 seed. They return a lot of guys. They're really focused this year.
And then I want to shout out the 8-man football.
Do it. Yeah, we have.
How about some Fresno Christian? Have you seen the crazy numbers put up from Fresno
Christian?
Did they
put up 80-something points in a game this year?
They seem to be averaging 60 per game, it feels like. They're the 1 seed in the 8-man that includes some of your favorite schools, like Trona is at Mammoth tonight. Imagine going to that game tonight.
Where is that game?
It's at Mammoth.
It's at Mammoth. All right, so Trona, I love giving them shout-outs. It's one of only 3 schools in the United States that plays on a dirt field out there in the desert. They cannot grow grass.
No.
Literally, they can't grow grass. They tried and it doesn't work.
Fantastic stuff. Fresno Christian's got Orcutt Academy tonight in action. Paul, we're excited. It's going to be a fun night of football. We'll be on the roof of the Dinuba. Can't wait. We haven't done a roof game in a while, not since the Madera Kerman matchup we did last year. Hopefully we'll be a little bit warmer.
You're prepared though.
I got a jacket in my car.
Always wear a hat. You're a hat guy.
Oh yeah.
And I got my beanie.
I laminated the roster so they don't fall apart and disintegrate after a quarter.
And we're always up for an adventure.
Yes.
Always. Right.
I think
making memories.
The Dinuba people I've heard are going to treat us right. I mean, Paul, it's your hometown.
It's my hometown.
Tell us the homecoming real quick. The feeling of going to a game in Dinuba.
Yeah. Just when you drive down Mountain View and enter Dinuba, there's going to be a flood of emotions and memories that are going to pop into my head. Driving to the stadium, finding parking. I can remember as a young man, my best friend's dad was a principal at Dinuba High School, so I had some extra access. Let's just put it that way. When I was younger, used to go and throw the football down around on the sidelines and just hang out there. And so to be able to call a game there and against the school that my own students right now feed into. It's gonna be a great evening.
Think about the pride of for Kingsburg, like a Tyler Bray quarterback versus the pride of Marcus McMarion.
That's it.
We'll have to
bring those names up tonight in the broadcast.
You've got some nuggets. All right. You want to stick around to close the show, Paul?
Sure. What are you going to talk about? The Dodgers winning the World Series?
I think we're past that, Paul.
Look at Sergio.
Kids do not want to talk about that anymore, Paul. We're moving on.
All right.
We're going to talk about what we're watching this weekend. So let's wrap it up here next, and we'll be back with one more segment here on Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here at 1430. I'm telling you, we put the bar as far as competition between the producer groups to see if you're better than the other one, but
I'm the most entertaining.
You guys are sliding down the producer.
What?
Power
no, I need like I needed rain right now, like on the window, and watch out, look at the camera.
You should have been here Wednesday. Wednesday was the perfect day for that.
Oh,
we had the window open, all the rain. Paul was here with the Sunburst Show.
Don't worry, next Friday.
their stock in my book is moving up. Okay. Man, poke the bear. I love it. Let them have it. Give it to them.
The music choices.
It's a show. We provide good content.
Yeah.
And entertainment.
All content.
We're
all conflict.
In the viewers,
good content.
We're bringing in the followers.
Next step is to start clipping all this.
Yes, that's a great idea. Great idea. We should be doing that more.
We should get on that.
Anyways, yeah, we should get on that. How about that? All right, what do we got? We got about a few minutes left in the show here. Just a reminder, tomorrow, Paul, you got your Central Valley Sports Report. Should be a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll be making some calls on the road home.
Exactly what I'm doing. You know me well, right? You definitely want to wait on the guest list to see if they win their game.
You have some ideas.
I got a short list.
10 a.m. to noon tomorrow should be good. We'll have Laker basketball tomorrow. Lakers and Hawks. That's going to be at 5 p.m. You got Sharks and Panthers. Sharks, hey, they're playing very good hockey lately. Pay attention to them. And then on Sunday, Niners-Rams, both sides. We got the Niners side on 1430. We have the Rams side on 790. And we'll have Sunday Night Football, Steelers and Chargers from Los Angeles. All right, let's do what are we watching for the weekend before we wrap it up. What are we watching this weekend? Well, I have YouTube TV, so unfortunately I cannot watch ESPN this weekend. And so what's the Fox game? I think it's like Oregon and somebody, right?
It's Indiana-Penn State.
Indiana-Penn State. Why not? Oregon-Iowa. I'm in Oregon, Iowa, on CBS. I'm picking that one. I heard there's snow potential at the end of the game.
Ooh,
so we could be getting into the snow territory in terms of – heard the Midwest and the Northeast is starting to get those flakes this time of year now. So that's what I'm watching. Sergio, what are you watching this weekend?
I am also a YouTube TV user, but I will – be watching the BYU-Texas Tech game in other capacities that I will not be naming.
You will not be disclosing in terms of that. Chloe, what are you watching this weekend?
I'm not watching anything.
You gotta be watching something.
Sergio made a joke to me and said, I'm gonna go home and cry this weekend.
Well, that's true.
I have a 3-part midterm due, so
well, that's probably why you're crying.
On that.
You know, 3-part midterm, that's tough. That'll make someone cry, anybody cry. Paul, what are we watching this weekend?
Well, you know, Saturday, decent slate of college games, but I caught my eye on that Niners-Rams game, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned it on the broadcast when Adrian Martinez got to go in for the victory formation play.
Yep.
Mac Jones did him a solid there. And again, Adrian is one play away from going into football game.
He's going to be there again because Mac's going to be playing.
It.
So
that's it.
Cool stuff. I'm going to be. I might go to the Save Mart Center at 2 p.m.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's the other one.
Fresno State.
Come on, keep supporting them.
There are
something good's going to happen.
They are a 7.5-point favorite against Long Beach. By the way, Daily Spread brought to you by Chantilly Gold Resort and Casino right before the end of the show. Good line, bad line. We were a 10-point or 9.5-point favorite against USC Upstate. I was there. That was frustration at the max.
Well, when I saw there was you know, 11-point game at halftime. I'm like, yeah, there we go. Cool. All right. Let's get the momentum going. And then I listened to the second half and
got killed on the unmentionable inside in terms of they gotta just be more consistent. There is a point where you're a basketball player, and when you're turning, you force a turnover and you're going coast to coast in terms of that, you can't just assume contact or anticipate contact. You just need to go up and then contact will come. And I think sometimes these players assume contact comes and waits for the call as opposed to just finish the play. Right, Paul? I'm assuming that's
go the way up strong. You never know what the refs are going to call, but go up strong anyway. Don't assume anything. Don't try to do too much, right?
Don't invite the contact and alter your shot and make it not the mechanics you do in terms of finishing the basket. And I think Fresno State needs to do that. Literally. Needed to do it like three different times in that basketball game.
I heard a lot of missed layups.
Brutal. Right? It was brutal. Vance will try to get those guys getting rolling again, 2 o'clock, and then I got taco truck throwdown on Saturday night, so that should be fun at Chichansey. E40, my guy. I'm gonna be rocking all kinds of Warriors gear at this thing. Can't wait. So, all right, Paul, we got a road trip to get to.
Let's go, me and you. We'll hit all the hot spots in Dinuba, California.
You're gonna show me the ropes of how to navigate Dinuba tonight, and we hope to see you tonight. In terms of that, 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. tip off, guys. Good job on the show. We'll see you later.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
By the Bench, back Monday for another edition. We'll see you. Have a good weekend.